The Mother I Could Have Been, written by Carrie Fisher and read by Emma Spurgeon Hussey.
Part 1. 2018. Patience. 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 He kept saying that to me, as though I lacked understanding about how these things work. I did. I'd never needed to find someone who'd disappeared before. Naively, I'd assumed that if you did it for a living, it would be a few hours fiddling about on the internet before hitting the jackpot. But it appeared that there were a lot of Vicky Halls in the world, and even a private detective who proclaimed himself the expert at finding the haystack needle required more time than I'd expected. I bristled when he asked why I wanted to find her. I hadn't told anyone the real purpose. When other members of the family asked, I just said I'd been thinking about building bridges for a long time. I wasn't about to explain the exact reasons to anyone. I couldn't risk letting her find out the truth. I played the emotional mother card, said we'd lost touch, and I felt it was time to have her back with us, where she belonged. He looked skeptical, kept saying that it was usually easier to get a better outcome if he knew the whole story. But I couldn't let him loose with that. He'd have a hard job persuading her to come back as it was, without frightening her with the facts. Like us, she'd be shocked at how much had changed since I saw her last. I smiled and brushed off his comment. Do any of us recognize the whole story? Or do we just offer up the best version of ourselves? Then I started to cry, telling him my heart was completely broken, which was true, though not for the reasons he thought. I suggested doubling his money if he found her within a month. He put his head on one side.
Is there a reason you're in such a hurry?
I don't want to waste any more time. It wasn't just that I didn't want to. I couldn't afford to. Vicky, July 2009. The day after I graduated from university, the event my mother was so looking forward to, but failed to turn up at, I had brunch with my flatmate Liv at her parents' posh hotel. Her mother, Fiona, was over the top jolly, as though her saying, "Celebration breakfast on us, Vicky, bucks fizz," would make up for the fact that the previous day I'd been the odd one out again, the weirdo with no parents to see me receive my degree in English. Mum's number had flashed up on my phone, 25 minutes before the ceremony. "Mum, where are you?" And there it was, all in the sigh. The sudden and unwelcome knowledge that Mum wasn't speaking to me from outside the university library, her head swivelling round, trying to understand whether she should walk right or left to reach me. Her words weren't coming to me from a few hundred metres away. "Darling, I'm so sorry, I'm ringing from the hospital." I turned my back on the merry little group. "Why? Have you had an accident?" Fright surged through me, making me press the phone harder into my ear, as though I'd be able to touch her. "It's Emily. Just as I was leaving, she ran to say goodbye to me and fell down the stairs. She's broken her wrist and had a nasty crack to the head." I should ask if my stepsister was going to be okay. But the words that came out were, "So you're not coming today, then?" "I'm really sorry, Vicky. I tried to phone earlier, but there was no signal in the hospital, and Emily was crying, and I couldn't leave her. I've only just got out now. I feel so bad letting you down. I really, really wanted to be there." I didn't say anything. Mum's voice took on a tinge of weariness, a hint of irritation that I wasn't rushing to make it easy for her when Emily was hurt. "I'll make it up to you, I promise. Take lots of photos for me. Get one of your friends to take a picture when you're on stage." My eyes filled. "What about getting all my stuff home? Can you bring some of it on the train? Ian's going to need the car for work for the rest of the week." I was pretty sure he'd find a way to manage without it for one day if Mum needed to take Joey or Emily somewhere. "But we have to give the keys back tomorrow night." Panic was making my voice sharper, snappier, than I ever allowed myself to be.